And just want to let you know, Alex Jones is scheduled and was scheduled for tomorrow's show, so he'll be our main guest. Len Kasten, who was our scheduled guest today to talk about Project Serpo, that's that incredible story of the ET and the USA trading off astronauts back and forth. Well, we're going to do that on Monday, obviously, okay? We're going to come back in a moment, though. We've got 2 hours to go of open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We'll have open lines for the next couple hours. I wanted to point out this story and show you some of the strangely bizarre similarities. Insurgents in Iraq deployed a series of car bombs as part of a highly coordinated series of attacks that cut a wide swath of the country today, killing at least 55 people on the deadliest day in nearly a month. 55 people with several car bomb attacks. This is all before the country's first election since we withdrew our troops back in December of 2011. So those tragedies there continue. And then, of course, we have this bizarre and horrible story that happened in Boston as well. I don't know why so many people hate, but it seems to be everywhere these days. You can feel that. Check in with me on part of that during our open lines. You know how we have been talking for some time now about how we feel something is about to happen and we just couldn't put our finger on it? Maybe this is it. I'm not sure. Let's go to our Skype line to get things started. Zach is in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the program, Zach. Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Norrie. First and foremost, I'm a first-time caller. I recently got into you. My girlfriend's been listening to you since she was 13.
Oh, that's a long time. Well, thank her, and I'm glad you're with us.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and so I had a quick question for you. Okay, so first and foremost, did you see Barack Obama's address to the nation this
yes.
evening?
Yes, yes.
Did you notice, or maybe I'm reading too far into things, you know, but it seemed to me like he was a little too calm. I mean, I know that a president, you know, in this time, this kind of time, is supposed to be calm. But to me, it almost seemed like he was too calm. Did you kind of...
No, let me tell you, he is a very polished, maybe too polished, speaker. He has been, since I saw him give a speech a long time ago at the Democratic National Convention before he became president, he may be one of the best, you know, speech givers I've ever seen, you know, he and Reagan. But President Obama is a little stilted in his speeches, which gives you that impression that you saw tonight. Nothing unusual about it. That's just his style. Hope that helps. Okay, thanks, Zach. And again, thank your girlfriend for getting you tuned into the show. We'll go to Richmond, Virginia now. Lyman's with us on Coast to Coast. Lyman, hello there.
Hi, hello again.
Yes.
You made a very interesting comment. I'm just stimulated by it. You say, why do people hate so much, right?
Yes.
This has always been true, but I have a yard sign that I put up years ago, and it reads like this. Do you want to hear it?
I will, if it's worthy enough for radio, absolutely.
I don't know. It says, bless the victims of land pirates like Moses, Rome, the Vikings, the European colonists, and all the rest.
Now, what does that mean?
It means we need to reject jingoism and imperialism, which has always caused people, well, it starts with overreproduction, which leads to... Well, it starts with copulation, which goes to overreproduction, which leads to killing landowners for land occupation. We're running out of land, and always all the wars that have ever been fought are over land, mostly.
Land and resources, which I guess is part of the land.
Absolutely, absolutely. We just, I hate to say it, but we're vastly overpopulated. I'm not trying to.
You're not a population.
Thing, ultimately, it leads to wars for land. And this has gone on for, what, 6, 10, 50,000 years?
Well,
I don't know.
It's not going to go away. You know that.
Well, you know, it's got to go away because we have to get to a point where we are self-disciplined and we cut out this excess copulation and overpopulation. It's that simple, but nobody wants to face it. It's something that...
Well, if you talked about... Let me give you an example. If you talked about sterilizing the world to cut down on population, that's not going to happen, okay? People will come at you from every different direction. I think, you know what, you live your life the best way you can and hope that your kids do and their kids do, but eventually there's going to be a big problem on this planet. We all know that. We're going to run out of resources. We can't feed everybody as much as we think, not with 7 billion people, not jumping to 9 billion one day. You can't do that. It's impossible. But what are you going to do? I mean, you can't sterilize every young boy or girl when they're born. You can't do that. Lee is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Lee, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
How you doing, Mr. Norrie?
Okay. Under the circumstances.
A little off the, pardon me?
Under the circumstances, okay.
Oh, yeah. It's a little off the wall, and I don't know if it has makes any it has any bearing, but I'm a voracious reader, and I just recently read this book. It's called Might is Right. Was rewritten by Anton LaVey, who's the author of the Satanic Bible.
Right.
I'm not a Satanist. I'm a Catholic, born and raised Roman Catholic. Just out of curiosity, I read this book. It was actually first written in 1896 by he went by the name of Ragnar Redbeard, and it's been thought that he was actually Jack London. But the reason I'm calling is in the back of this book, which was written, like I said, in 1896, there's a poem that was written by this Ragnar Redbeard gentleman, and it has something to do with the opening paragraph says that from Sandy Hook to London Tower. I'm looking at my in my
how bizarre
in the, right
in,
now
in the 1800s,
1896. I'm getting on my Nook right now. I'm going to get to it for you. I'll quote it for you. But it seems really really coincidental that this has something to do with Sandy Hook in that time. Now, maybe this person who has something to do with the Sandy Hook might have read this. Here's the poem is called The Higher Law. It says, from Sandy Hook to London Tower, from Jaffa to Japan, they can take whoever have the power, and they may keep who can. Now, that's the opening paragraph of this. And then the last paragraph of this poem also quotes Sandy Hook. It says, from Sandy Hook to London Tower, from Greenland to Japan, they will take who have the power, and they may keep who can.
Well,
I don't know if the person who had anything to do with the Sandy Hook massacre maybe read this book.
Who knows?
Fire?
I mean, who knows? It's interesting that you would be able to find that. But, you know, we really don't know. I mean, unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. Let's go to Richard in Alabama, wildcard line. Richard, thank you for calling and welcome to the program.
Hello, George. Speaking from a law enforcement perspective about what happened at Boston today.
You are welcome. Go ahead, sir.
I have worked large events in stadiums, but this was a logistical nightmare.
Yes.
You got 26 miles.
There was no way to control this.
There's no way to control. There's not enough of us to control this. You would have to search every building, every nook, every cranny, search everybody. There's no way to control a large open event like that.
Any idea, Richard, on when you think this person or persons might have dropped these bombs off?
Had to be a last-minute thing. Because if you've got the bomb dogs, you've got, you know, all the security checking the area and all of that, it had to be a last-minute thing.
And would it have been sophisticated, as my previous guest, Doug Hagman, thought maybe it was detonated by a cell phone, for example?
The people in Iraq and Iran have been doing it for years.
With cell phones?
With cell phones. I've got friends that have done the private security work over there. And when they would pull up to an intersection, they try not to stop at the intersection. But when they would approach and pull up at an intersection, any kind of Iraqi with a cell phone to their ear gets ordered to put it down at that point. They get told twice, the third time they get shown.
Wow. What does the pulse from the cell phone do? Does it create a spark that ignites it?
I have no idea. That's something, the bomb technology and stuff like that is not something I'm into, but I know it can be done. You know, and you were talking about the knives, George, on airplanes.
Yeah, I think that's ludicrous.
You give me a single car key, I can do enough damage to you in less than a minute that you will not get up.
Yep, that's true. So, but why magnify it by letting them bring knives on?
Yeah, I know. They're just backtracking. You know, it seems like that our whole mode of defense, our whole military is just getting softer and softer every day. And it's not the soldiers. It's the government doing it.
It's not the soldiers. We've got
y'all
the best fighting people. You know that.
Y'all have a good night.
Okay. Appreciate it. I like getting calls from law enforcement. We go to Seattle, Washington. Matt's turn west of the Rockies. Matthew, go ahead.
Hey, George, if you'll follow me on this for a second.
I'll do the best I can. Go ahead.
I think that this has everything to do with what happened on 9/11.
How come and why?
If you remember, a month or two ago, you had that building on fire in Chechnya?
Yes.
Okay, that building, 40 stories tall, burned for 3 days. It's still standing. And I saw pictures of it. It was engulfed in flames from top to bottom. And it is still standing. Now, let's go back to 9/11. Okay, Building 7 miraculously collapsed in on itself with just a little bit of fire. I saw a little bit of smoke, and the building collapsed in on itself. And the government's claim was, as a result of terrorist activity, okay? And sometimes the truth doesn't show up until like 12 years later. And you've got this building in Chechnya that burned for 3 days, is still standing. I think this is the government's, their attempt to reaffirm and scare the American people that terrorists are out to get us.
Let me ask you something, because this is what fascinates me on what's happening right now to everybody. Why don't, I'm not saying you're not justified by any means, but why don't you trust government? There's something missing, and I'm sure you would like to. We all want to, but right. Why don't you?
Well, it's because if you look at the things that are going on around us, you know, with the wars we started in Afghanistan and Iraq, and the way the economy is going, and the way, you know, for example, they're taking our own oil and putting it on the international market and selling it back to us at a bloated rate, you know. Just all kinds of things that are very suspicious, and I think we've turned into a corporate entity. We're not American anymore. We're a big corporate entity.
Which is what Eisenhower warned us about.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that there's like the guy said, the guy who owned Building 7, they have videotape of the guy doing an interview, and he said, he gave the order to pull Building 7.
To pull it.
Now, that's a demolition term.
It sure is.
And who, first of all, who is he to give orders to the fire department that, you know, they need to get out of there, you know? And, of course, the building came down after the fire department left. You know, I mean,
But let me ask you this, because I've seen buildings demolished by some great companies. There's one in St. Louis called the Spiritus Wrecking, and they strategically know how to take down big buildings. If you pull a building like 7 fell, and I got to agree with you, it was bizarre because it did not sustain the kind of damage the Twin Towers did, yet no. It still collapsed.
Right.
But to pull it, you'd have to have it already detonated, which means it was planned by someone.
Absolutely. And of course, the evidence for that comes 12 years later when you watch. And then there's that skyscraper in Shanghai, was a year or two ago. Same thing. Okay, you've got that one, and you've got the one in Chechnya. And, I mean, these buildings burned for days, and they're still standing.
Yeah, they're burned out rubble, but they're still there. The structure's still there.
They are still there. But the key is that they have tried to convince the American public that this was a terrorist attack. So I think that following the Chechnya thing, maybe some people in the government were getting some heat. The people responsible for 9/11 in the government, I don't think it was, I think bin Laden was a fall guy. He was one of those goofballs that they paid off or whatever. Who knows what they found on his computers. But I just don't, I think this is a reaffirmation to the American people that the boogeyman's out there and that they're terrorists. And I just don't buy that.
Well, you're not alone out there, Matt. There are a lot of other people who think exactly, sadly, the way you do. Nobody wants to have to think that way. Nobody. I wonder if this individual, if that's indeed who it was, an individual, I wonder if he posted anything on Facebook. I wonder if we'll ever find that out. That would be interesting to see if this person was disgruntled or what. See, I just think that if there's mass terrorism, they're going to do this with bigger bombs. You know, this was as tragic as it was, and so far three people are dead. I think that will go higher, but it could have been far worse. These were low-tech kinds of devices that were used, and to me, that's not the mark of a terrorist. If somebody really wanted to inflict damage at the Super Bowl or at this marathon, I don't think they'd do it with these kinds of pipe bombs at all. And to me, they are pipe bombs because of the way they talk about how the steel balls popped off and they were pulling them out of people. You know, they were like shotgun BBs just everywhere. There's something elsewhere. This person, I think, and I'm going to say this, the intuitive part of me, this was a disgruntled person ticked off about something, and he was getting back. And for whatever reason, I mean, let's face it, you know, if you wanted to inflict more damage than what we saw in terms of people, you would have used your assault weapon on them. That didn't happen. This is something else, and it's really, really strange. Look, we're going to continue with open lines. I wanted to give you some more information, and we've got open lines for you for the next half hour and our next hour as well. But very accessible to you, George at coasttocoastam.com. Those of you who yet are following us on Facebook and Twitter, go ahead and do that. Just go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. You can also get to us with georgenori.com, and up in the far right-hand corner, click Facebook and Twitter, and you'll be able to follow us, like us, and you'll get some information. We also put out a free electronic newsletter every day. You can get that off the website. It's delivered right to your computer doorstep in the morning, and it gives you a full recap of the program, plus information on the show that's coming up the night that you wake up to read it. So we'll be back. More open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, thanks for understanding about me changing the program tonight. Something I just had to do. I'll be back in a moment. More open line calls with you on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, and let's go right back to the phones. We've got open lines for you this half hour and next hour as well. We resume our normal full programming tomorrow. Strangely enough and ironically enough, Alex Jones was booked a couple weeks ago. Alex will be our full guest tomorrow. We'll, of course, talk about this and some other issues with him. Let's go to Aurora, Colorado. Dan's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Dan, go ahead.
Hi, George. And you were speaking a while ago about haters. I strangely get called that for mostly what I hear on Coast to Coast.
What, hate?
You know, yeah, I mean, you remember Bev Harris?
I remember, Bev, from Black Box Voting.
Right, the voting irregularities. We saw it here in Colorado. In a lot of places in the country, there was like 116% more voter turnout. And I saw this on Bev's site. and Florida had like 140%. And I try to objectively bring this up, what I hear on Coast to Coast. And this weekend I heard about maybe DHS staging vehicles at nearby Army bases like Fort Carson and stuff.
Do people believe you?
Well, I mean, they said, where do you get this? And I go, Coast to Coast. And they're like, oh, you can't believe it. And they talk about UFOs and stuff. But I mean, it's like, but no, I see TV, independent TV verification, where they have voting machine irregularities, always, you know, votes in it. And then they say, well, I'm a racist. And I'm like, but wait a minute. None of the votes were being turned into Romney votes. It was always the other way around.
Well, and you will find just on websites and the internet, there are people who do nothing but hate. I don't know where people have the time to post some of this junk, but they do, and they just don't like anything. Anyways, Tommy's back in the studio. He's got a text for us. What do you got for me, Tom?
George is from Walter in California. He says, George, this incident today scares the heck out of me. How did they orchestrate such an evil thing? Weren't there any race officials paying attention? I find it hard to believe no one saw anyone plant a bomb.
Well, you know what? Good question.
That is a good question.
You know, the guy probably had a knapsack, dropped things off, and off he went. Very difficult to find when you're in a crowd like that.
It's a huge crowd. I don't think you could be able to see it.
No, I don't think so either.
Thanks.
You know, as the police officer from South Carolina said, you cannot control something like that. It's too big. It's 26 miles. And, you know, people lined up. You can't control that. So somebody, you know, walks through in the back, drops a few off, and keeps moving, you know. Santa Monica we go in California. Wayne's with us. Wayne, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Norrie.
Hi, Wayne.
I want to take this in a slightly different direction here. You and I are of the same generation, or pretty close. I'm former military law enforcement on federal level and have been a private investigator for about 45 years. And I came home today, and let me take a step back.
Okay.
You and I, same generation. You remember Edward R. Murrow. You remember Walter Cronkite. Those people, in my mind, growing up, were superior journalists. And I came home today, and I turned on CNN. I was never so disgusted in the first 15 minutes of watching today's tragedy taking place. Watching and listening to Wolf Blitzer, the man who never goes home or never sleeps, reporting this whole thing and bringing on, I call it his entourage of everybody from John King to God only knows who on his news situation room, whatever.
Well, see, Cronkite and Edward R. Murrow, they knew that they weren't the story. And
exactly.
That's
the point I'm going to make, George. Okay. I heard and felt that these people on CNN were exhibiting enthusiasm and excitement to be there firsthand exclusively to report this. And I had to turn it off. I got to the point beyond upset. I went, shook it off, came back. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to watch this on Fox or anybody until I listen to your program tonight, because I knew you were going to have the right people on reporting the facts, not vulturizing the victims and whoever they could grab off the street to ask that never-ending question, how do you feel? I mean, they did the same thing at Sandy Hook, and it's like, my God, when is the mainstream media going to get it together and do what they're supposed to be doing with respect and feelings for the victims of these situations? I'll let you go, George. Thank you for your time, and I'll listen to your response off there.
Well, you know, I happen to be from old school. I was fortunate to be born in an era and come up in an era where we learned journalism and broadcast news in a very special way. And I would never replace that. And unfortunately, you know, most of your broadcasters today didn't have that experience. They didn't come up that way. It was so competitive today for them that it's about personality, it's about looks, it's about style and content, which is so critical to this program. Content goes by the wayside. And so when you have an event like this that occurs, as sad as it is and tragic as it is, where the event is indeed the story, they don't know how to stop interjecting themselves because that's all they know. And they're so competitive with the other networks. CNN ratings, of course, are down the tubes. I guess they're all trying to do whatever they can. Long Beach, California. Jack, it's your turn. East can't be east. How'd you get on east, Jack, if you're in Long Beach?
That's a long story there, George. I'm always on the West Coast, but somehow my phone reads that I'm East Coast with you guys.
Right.
I'd like to point out that I believe that the Boston events today are a false flag. And if I can expound for a few minutes here, I think it is a false flag. I think it's definitely black ops or an inside job. And I also think that this is a further erosion of our rights. I see this as a tipping point for a chain of events to click off that's going to further restrict our movement. And then even today on the coverage, I myself had to turn off the TV for a while, and it seems like there's a social conditioning. And then when I returned to watch the program, the media kept drilling away saying that, you know, things like this can and will occur in a quote-unquote open society, basically implying that, you know, we need to give up some more rights here. We need to give up some more freedom, some more restrictions. And then along with that, I also see that, innocent things. Like I'm totally innocent. I carry a backpack every day while I run my errands. And tomorrow I'll be running my errands. I don't want to be accused of being
you get tackled tomorrow. Be careful.
Well, not only that, but like I said, a further chain of events. What happens to those of us in an age where they're talking bailouts and everything like that, and you know, gold is plummeting? What happens to those of us that have played by the rules and done everything right and happen to have a substantial amount of money in the bank, and then some teller flags your account because they think you have too much in there, and then they say, well, we think this guy's a terrorist because he has so much money in the bank.
Try getting your money out of the bank, your own money.
Right.
Getting it out of the bank. It's like you're robbing Fort Knox.
Right.
You have three tellers show up, and they got to go through all your ID. And maybe because of bank fraud, as I say so much with LifeLock, is so bad now.
Right.
It's so prevalent.
Right.
They're petrified.
Well, I also would like to point out, too, like you mentioned earlier, I think it's very ironic that here in another week we're going to have TSA allowing hockey sticks and knives back on the planes. And we have, whether this is a terrorist event or whether this was an inside job, no matter how you come down on it.
Or some single wacko, which is possible, too.
Right. It's just a further erosion of our rights, and I see it as it's going to be, no matter how you come down on it, it's going to be an excuse to further restrict our movements, further restrict our freedoms. And I, God willing, I hope they don't do something like someone mentioned earlier, like pull, you know, gunpowder, and so rounds of ammunition cannot be made, because I don't want to restrict our gun rights.
If anything, this will prove to you that you can kill someone with anything if you want to. You don't need an assault weapon. You don't need a gun. You don't need a knife. You can do it with anything.
Right. And I also have one dying question is that how was that bomb planted? I mean, how could they? I know you said that someone could have dropped off a knapsack or a backpack
or whatever. Yeah.
With all that security there, and as like I mentioned, the chain of events, we're going to come a day when there's going to be so much security, and then we'll still have events like this. It's got a big question mark over it. It smells of a rat. It smells of black ops to me. It smells of a false flag to further restrict our rights. And that's all I really have to say about that.
Well, you're going to have more cameras. There's no doubt about that. I mean, privacy will be your privacy will be invaded. Cameras, you think there are a lot out there now? Just wait, because that's one of the first things I heard today when this happened was, well, maybe they caught the person on camera. Maybe he was there. And maybe they do have him. But they're going to put more and more of those out there. Let's go to our first-time caller. Ben is in Chicago. Hey, Ben, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George, as disappointed as I was to hear you weren't during the Serpo thing today, I'm really glad to get your perspective on the bombing. Have you heard about the man on the roof?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we have it posted on Twitter. It was a picture that we have, and I guess it's spread all over the planet right now. They haven't, you know, pointed out who he is, but it was weird because he was standing over one of the sites where the bomb went off, where one of the bombs went off.
Yeah, and it looked like he was on top. It's like a condo building, right?
Yeah, and he's just up there walking around. Now, maybe he wanted a good view of the marathon. Who knows?
Well, the one thing I did hear about that was that the police had basically had an order to clear everybody from the rooftops along the route.
Okay. Did not know that. Well, he's one who got away.
I don't know if he got away, though, because it's kind of like we're looking at him right now. And do you possibly think that somebody living in one of these condos could have been a part of this or been responsible for it?
Well, I don't want to speculate on that other than to say, Ben, who knows? My gut tells me, that this was some ticked off person about something, and he made his own little sick statement and went off on his merry way. That's what my gut tells me. We'll never find out unless we catch who it was, the responsible person or persons. But that's my thought. It just doesn't have the making of what I would think would be a pure terrorist attack. In Iraq, car bombs killed 55 people today. That's a terrorist statement. A wedding where they go in and a guy blows himself up and kills 80 people. That's a terrorist statement. This was different. It really was. The two pipe bombs, as I'll call them pipe bombs, because law enforcement won't tell you what they think they were yet, was loaded with these little shotgun-type balls of steel that scattered everywhere. And that's what hurt a lot of the people. The concussion and the explosion is what maimed so many people. They lost appendages and everything else. But this just doesn't sound like one of those terrorist episodes. Terrorists want something grand. This was upsetting and tragic. But three people died, 100-some injured. They want something bigger than that. And they could have done much more. I think it's an individual. Next up, Gail in Springfield, Missouri. What do you think, Gail?
3 points, Mr. Norrie. One, journalism now is patterned on the Eagles song, Dirty Laundry.
Good point.
And two, there is a trial, I believe, that's either taking place or is scheduled to start taking place of the Irish mob boss who ran Boston crime for decades and was responsible for a number of murders, quite a few of them. When I first heard this, I thought, wow, what a diversion that would be. There are going to be so many delays in court cases because of all of this that's going on.
Well, you may be right there.
And that was the first thing that hit me. And third, this business about hate. People are feeling hemmed in. People are feeling scared. They don't trust their government anymore as to what the government tells them. And I think the sea change took place in when JFK was killed.
Mm-hmm.
People have never gotten the truth on that. People just do not believe what their government tells them, because every time, from everything from food down to legislation, they'll come out and tell you don't eat this because it's bad for you. 6 months later, they're changing their minds and saying don't eat this because, no, the other thing isn't that bad. I mean, it's minuscule things that are piling up, and people are getting scared. They're feeling hemmed in. They don't know which way to turn, and they're looking for someone that they can point a finger at and say, you're the one that's responsible for all of this.
But why can't they pull themselves away from this and at least try to make their little life as happy as they can?
Mr. Norrie, when I hate to go back this far, but when you go back far enough, if you go back to pre-World War II in Germany, Mr. Norrie, this is the way it was in Germany. Everybody was unhappy. They didn't have anything. They were economically down. They were looking for someone to blame it on.
And then along came Hitler, and they all said, he's going to save us.
We have to be very, very careful in this country. And remember, it is American to have a different opinion. It is American to disagree with someone else, but you keep it civil and you do not blame someone else for circumstances in your life that maybe you can control or change. Don't do that. That is the surest way to kill this country.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. You know, people will ask me, gosh, you're so patient with people all the time. Two things get you knocked off this show: profanity and totally inebriated where we can't understand you. I am sure I've had some people on who've been drunk, no doubt. But those two things get you knocked off. I don't hang up on you because I don't agree with you at all. I hang up on you, the rare cases, those of you who have been that way. Now, you don't hear that because we have a way of doing what we do. But by and large, I want people to express themselves, how they feel, why they say what they say. That doesn't mean I agree with you. Not by any means. I'll get an email from somebody that says, oh, you had that person, whether it was George Bush or Barack Obama, you let them say something bad about the president. Listen, that's their view. It's not mine, but I'm not going to muffle you. The day I start muffling you from telling us the way you feel is the day we've really lost this country. I'm coming back in a moment. More open lines. If you're not online yet, make the call. We've got a few lines open, but not a lot.